Hi, I'm Dean Russell. I'm the Member of Parliament for Watford, and one of my ambitions for the town is to become what I call a well-being town, where mental health and mental well-being has no stigma attached and where loneliness has no place to hide. And I'm chatting to leaders from across Watford about what mental well-being means to them, but also opening up the conversation to be able to ask how you are so that we can break down the stigma around mental health. And so I'm here today, I'm really pleased to be with Cheska, who's the head teacher from Cherry Tree School. And so to start off the conversation, how are you today?
Honest answer, pretty exhausted after a long weekend and the year that we've had, but I'm feeling good, the sun's shining. It's Monday and I'm okay.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to hear. And I think this, you know, that conversation, that opening, how often do you get to ask your teams and your staff how they're feeling? Is it challenging in modern times?
It's challenging to ensure that you have made sure you have asked everybody. It's something that I do really try to check in, you know, on with my staff. I do actively say, you know, how are you? But of course, fleeting in the corridors, it's quite often, oh yeah, I'm fine, how are you? But it's, you know, getting deeper is always a challenge.
And how does that manifest itself in terms of those conversations? Do you get time to listen to the answer? Because one of the things that I'm very conscious of quite often is that, you know, we often ask people how they are, but then the ability to take time to listen, and in a difficult job like you have as a leader within a great school but a very, you know, large school, how do you get time to listen to them but also take time for yourself as well?
Well, again, it is a challenge, but you know, we actually have recently just been awarded the Nurture UK Award as part of the Inclusive Multi Academy Trust. All three schools have got it, so we really do try to stand up for you know, nurture, pastoral. We, you know, it's something that defines what we do. So we try to ensure that it's in our everyday language, our, you know, our conversation, our communication. Here we have a fantastic leadership team who really lead their teams closely. So they have, you know, obviously it's difficult for one person to check everyone is okay. But what I've really worked on this year is to ensure that every leader and every member of staff, you know, we are a community. We are checking in on one another when we can. We have set up a wellbeing group this year, which has really helped us. Which has really helped us to think about what makes the difference, rather than the token, well done to this, and here's a, you know, biscuit, and you know, the little things count, they do, but just, you know, how can we widen that discussion, and you know, have lots of ideas going forward for that, which is
brilliant.
Great.
And how do you, and congratulations, by the way, that's fantastic. How do you, you know, as a leader, how do you decide to make time for that? Because obviously there's so many priorities, especially in the school, of time, that things that you could do. What made you want to prioritise well-being?
You don't have a choice, you have to. If you and your staff are not feeling strong, you know, emotionally, mentally, you won't be able to do your job in the best way. And, you know, we work with the most precious of, you know, thing. We work with children, you know. We have to be on it for them. So it's our duty to ensure that we do prioritise that. We do it for the children. You know, historically, schools, you assess academics. We, as a trust, have decided, well, actually, at the same time, we're also going to be assessing the emotional well-being of our children. And we do collect data on that, and we prioritise that, because we know that they won't be able to learn unless they're ready. So why do we not, you know, use the same rules for our staff?
Absolutely. And do you see that? I mean, when I've been around your school, I've been a few times now, there's always a real joy in the kids. You know, there always seems a real energy, and it's always a wonderful experience to visit. You know, how much do you think that's reflective of the staff, you know, and the fact that you've put well-being at the heart of what you do?
I think, you know, when you prioritise something, you get the buy-in. And again, like I say, when you start that conversation and people are, they feel safe to say, actually, I'm not okay. And, you know, only last week I noticed there was a member of staff that, you know, possibly wasn't their brightest. And, you know, I called them in to have a little chat at lunchtime, and, you know, they really appreciated that. And I think it's when they realise you prioritise that, they prioritise it for themselves and their teams. And then that's prioritised, of course, for the children.
Yeah. And when looking at that side of things for yourself, you know, leadership role, very tough time, especially this past year. You joined a new school in September, mid-lockdown. I mean, how do you make time for yourself, and what advice would you give to other leaders to make sure that you're looking after your own well-being?
It's definitely harder to do it for yourself than for anyone else, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think I learnt the hard way. The autumn term is, you know, if I'm honest, really, really tough. And I just lost sight of what I needed. But you know, I lent on my friends and my family, and I've got, you know, a really supportive partner, and we, you know, I just forced myself to make time. You know, so I'm a keen runner, which I stopped in the autumn term, but I said, no, I have to do this, you know, and I really did protect that time. I'm lucky, again, being part of the trust. I'm really well supported with the other two heads and the trust staff, and I have a very open relationship in being able to, you know, say to them, I need help, if I do, and they will, and have done, they've supported me really well. So again, it's that trickle down effect from, you know, all of the staff at school.
Absolutely fantastic. And I think that's the one of the learnings I've seen over the past year or two has been the role of making it okay to not be okay. You know, and I know it's a bit of a cliche nowadays to say it, but it's true, isn't it? That ability to say, look, actually, I'm having a tough time. Can I get some support? And I found it quite interesting how in society, strength is often seen as not telling people that you're not okay, and weakness as the opposite. And actually, I think the strength is in being able to say, hey, look, I'm not 100%. And so you found that conversation has helped you.
Absolutely, it really has. And I think, you know, again, we teach the children, we use something called the zones of regulation, where the children identify how they are feeling as they come in the morning. And they even, you know, they move their faces or wooden spoons or whatever it might be their class teacher does, right from nursery to year six. So we start that conversation from the classroom. And I think, you know, that conversation is paramount, and it's, you know, it runs straight through the school.
Fantastic. And then very finally, any tips to anyone listening to this, watching this now, that you would recommend that they, in a leadership position in particular, that they should put into place to help them with their mental well-being and those of the teams?
I think take the time to listen, make sure you ask questions, and you have to give that time to yourself, and you know, lean on those around you, other, you know, your peers. They are in the same boat and they get it. Yeah. I think that's really, really important.
Fantastic. Oh, thank you so much. Well, thank you for this very candid interview. It's been really, really helpful, and I think it's so important that people in positions of leadership in particular are the ones that open up that conversation. So thank you so much. Thanks to everyone who's watched this today and listening. We'll be doing more of these types of interviews over the coming weeks and months to really tackle the stigma of mental health and well-being in Watford and hopefully beyond, and also make sure loneliness has no place to hide. So thank you so much for your time, and thank you for watching.